This is The Coacharium, where coaches go to grow. Coacharium, like a terrarium for coaches. It's the pocket-sized podcast for leaders who coach to gain skills and confidence. Welcome to The Coacharium.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Coacharium. If you haven't listened before, we're Dana, Wendy, and Gary. This is the smallest podcast spread over the longest distance, over 5,000 miles from here in Dallas, via Boise, Idaho, to London, England. Now, in each Coacharium episode, we discuss topics related to developing your leadership style and coaching approach. Wendy, what are we talking about today?
Thanks, Dana. Yeah, I came across an Apple News article. Well, it's actually from the Business Insider, but I came across this article that talked about, I think the title says, Gen Z anxiety at work, fueled by remote work. But the idea is just about how many Gen Z workers, which there's a lot of them, but how many of them are feeling anxious all of the time or frequently. And so I just want to share some stats that I found in this article, but it came from a Gallup 2022 workplace survey where 52% of workers in the US and Canada said they felt stressed at work daily, and this was a record high. And 58% specifically of Gen Zers have said they feel anxious frequently or all of the time. And that's a big jump from the one-third of Gen Xers and one-quarter of baby boomers who said the same. So this is a big change, you know, from past demographics in the workforce. And it's a long article. There's a lot of information, and we'll share a link in the show notes. But it really struck me because I have a lot of Gen Zers in my life, and a lot of them struggle with anxiety. And it's something that I've wondered a lot about, you know, what is it? Why do so many young adults struggle with so much anxiety? You know, what's the difference? And the article talks a lot about uncertainty, this idea that anxiety stems from, you know, not knowing what's going to happen next. And if you look back over the last, 20 years, really, 24, 25 years, there has been a lot of uncertainty. And this group of people have grown up, both having all sorts of information at their hands, at the ready, and then also with just so many things in the world being uncertain. And one of the things that in this article I read was the idea that when people like me were growing up, we would go outside and play, and you know, there's that old adage that you would come in when the streetlights came on or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we were kind of raised in a time where things were uncertain and it was okay. You knew how to deal with that, right? You didn't know exactly when you were going to come home for dinner. Your parents didn't know exactly when you were going to come into the house, but that was okay. You knew how to manage. You learned how to manage when you didn't know exactly what was going to happen. Paradoxically, perhaps now, with Google, you have the capacity to know everything or seemingly know everything. And there's this sense that we should know everything and that we haven't had an opportunity, perhaps younger people haven't had an opportunity to live in a world where, you didn't know what your family 3,000 miles away was doing and what food they were eating for lunch. And it was okay that you didn't know what they had for lunch that day because you didn't see it on something called social media. Okay, I'm talking a lot now. I want to know what you two think about this concept and I know you read the article. What do you think?
Go ahead, Gary.
I think that I see it a lot. I don't have so many Gen Zs in my life, but I see it a lot. And I think that there are two things that really come to mind. The first we've been talking a lot about in the new hybrid or remote working model, much, much more difficult for a new joiner to the workplace of any age, but obviously so many are Gen Z, to join and integrate, where in the past, you know, maybe you were sitting next to or standing next to somebody else doing the same job as you, and they could just show you the ropes, they could answer your questions, you know, help and support was just instantly accessible in a way that's not so much the case in the remote or hybrid workplace. But the second is just how long this has been going on for. So if you're Gen Z joining the workforce now, you know, it's almost 4 years since the beginning of the pandemic when everything turned upside down. And so if you're 18 and joining the workforce now, it's been abnormal since you were age 14. If you're 21 now, it's been abnormal since you're age 17. And when you think about how different we all were at the age of 14 compared with 18 or 17 compared with 21, it's not only the workforce, the workplace is more difficult to join and integrate with, but also, you know, all your time maybe at school or college or university has also been disrupted and is very, very different. And you think about those skills that you need to be developing, the soft skills, communication skills, the resilience, the practical skills, you know, people don't have them. It's not as easy to have them as it was when, you know, you were in that normal environment for the 3 to 4 years before you joined the workforce. So I think that those two factors together are really impacting Gen Z, and that's reflected through in anxiety and stress that they're experiencing, and it's no surprise. Dana, what are you seeing in the work that you're doing?
Yeah, I think this is something I want to take us back to, and I think we had an episode where we talked about that there's five generations in the workplace. And they all need something differently. And I thought it might be good if we kind of define what years were Gen Z. I believe it was, is it 2012 to, or 1997 to 2012, I think, is what I've pulled up, but I want to confirm that. But one of the things I think that is interesting is that they grew up on the screen, as you were saying, Wendy. And so in the workplace, how that shows up, even though they need something so different than all the other generations, each of the generations needs something different. And I think that's why the power of having all the generations together is so much better, because they have role models. And I remember I grew up with a mom who was very successful, but she was anxious, and I never knew what anxiety was until I got older, and it carried through, and I see it now in the third generation. So it's something that can pass generationally because you see it role modeled, right? And so that's one aspect of this. The other aspect of it is, wouldn't it be great if we helped these Gen Zs really see? I mean, they're going to be the largest generation by 2030. I think they're going to be in the trillions. What I think it says 33 trillion in income by 2030. So they're going to be influential. So why not make sure that all the Gen Zs in our life have a mentor, have a person come alongside them? The power of counseling right now, the power of everybody having a coach, couldn't be more important, whether you're a boomer or you're a Gen Zer. But I do think there's power. And this comes in power in being in community and being with different generations. And so I don't think as a workforce, if we're in leadership and we're, say, a Gen X and we're managing a Gen Z, we shouldn't try to compare them the way we were, because it's totally different. But I do think what we can do is find what is unique about them, which I would go back to strengths, and help them really focus on their unique talents and be a mentor coach to them. And I think that is powerful. And I look at the blue zone, that whole concept of what are the blue zones in the world of people that are living long, and why are they living long? Well, they're multi-generational and they have purpose. and they care for each other and they have connection, daily connection. And so, I mean, those are just some thoughts I'm having on, as we move into the future, how to help the Gen Zers feel connected, have that human connection, and build community.
And here's my provocative question to you two, which is, you know, I get that and I hear that and I think, you know, how can I role model for somebody mm-hmm. who's Gen Z? But then I think, but I don't know that I know how to role model for Gen Z, actually, because if I'm role modeling the way I think about role modeling, well, am I role modeling for Boomer Gen X? And, you know, Gen Z is going to go, that's, it's interesting that you're sharing that that's your experience or that's your way of doing something. But I wouldn't do that, not because I don't know, but because that's not my way or that's not my context or that's not my technology. Sure. So how do you think about, how do I role model in a way that is meaningful and helpful for Gen Z, as opposed to, well, this is what I did when I was in your stage 25 years ago on slate and chalk.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of components there. And one is the lack of judgment. And to your point, Dana, I think we've talked about this a couple of times in different episodes. It's not saying, you know, well, in my day, you know, we trekked 8 miles to and from school. And
right.
Yeah. Not expecting everyone mm-hmm. to do it the same way that you did. But looking, right. taking a step back and looking at the context, like, I think that's one of the things that this article raised for me, this idea that there's really legitimate reasons for why they feel the way that they do. And when we can better understand their perspective and all of the different components that are going mm-hmm. into, or that are contributing to their reactions and their feelings, then we're in a better position to tailor our approach to, you know, their needs. And I think that is the key for those of us in from previous generations that are now leading, you know, Gen Zers in the mm-hmm. workforce. It's that lack of judgment and more compassion, more understanding.
Yeah, it kind of almost goes to that listening in attentively that we talked about, is the two powerful words for leaders of right now today is listening. And we're not guiding each of our, or coaching each of our employees the same. They're all going to need something different and understanding what those needs are. So I appreciate that, Wendy.
There is also an inherent challenge in here, though, isn't there? Which is, you know, if people have been in an unusual situation the last few years where they haven't necessarily had the support they've needed, but they also haven't had the challenge that you would normally have going through, you know, the pre-pandemic kind of development journey through maybe college or university or, you know, in your early jobs. Sometimes with Gen Z, the conversation that needs to be had is sometimes there are things you need to do that you just need to do and you won't enjoy it all. And that's the nature of the real world and the workplace. So how do you find that balance where, you know, helping Gen Z, you know, employees to feel less anxious is not an indulgent thing to do, but is actually that balance of challenge and support. And sometimes the conversation is, I know it's hard, but actually welcome to the workplace. You know, in the workplace, it's not always sweetness and light. fairies and rainbows. It's
yeah,
it's
the
a different
first thing
kind of
that
world.
Comes to my mind when you said that, Gary, is that's the return to the office, right? I think the company that I work for has just instituted if you live within 30 miles of an office, you need to come in every Thursday. And for Gen Z in particular, who hasn't worked in an office for, you know, those of them that are in the mm-hmm. workforce, you know, for the last 4 years, there's been a ton of work from home. And so coming into an office feels really, really uncomfortable for them. And yet we also know that it's key to building strong relationships with your colleagues is to have some of that mm-hmm. face-to-face time. So I think there's a little bit of what you're saying there, Gary, of like, okay, we've got to try to, maybe it's not 5 days, maybe it's just 1 day a week that we try to have some of that face-to-face time, even though it's uncomfortable.
And I kind of go back to Clifton Strengths and understanding each of the Gen Zers with their strengths and ask them what strength would they use to help them navigate a new challenge or a new opportunity that maybe doesn't feel very comfortable right now. And so it's going, having them own it, because they're not going to hear it unless they're emotionally involved, but they're emotionally involved when it's connected to them. So I kind of see that as another kind of thought. So Wendy, Gary, anything else as we round out this discussion on Gen Z? This has been really interesting, and it's really opened up my eyes to really be on the lookout for that anxiety in the workplace and how can I best serve as a coach, as a leader. What about you guys? Anything else? Any last things that are coming up for you as we get ready to finish?
For me, it's about that balance. It's about that, you know, I think about the basic neuroscience of how humans are attuned. You know, if when a newborn baby cries, you go and help them. If you keep doing that as they grow older and older and older, you end up with quite a maladjusted child. So you do have to create that kind of balance in our brains of, you know, this is the support you need, and it's not always easy. And definitely that's one of the reasons that drives the anxiety, is these are uncomfortable situations I have not come across before. And the answer can't be then never touch them, never go into that environment because it's so anxiety inducing. You have to, in a controlled and supported way, you know, build something that creates that sense of resilience for somebody who's going to be able to stand on their own two feet in the workplace.
Yep. Absolutely. Wendy, anything else as
just
we close out?
Just a lot to think about. I think, you know, just as more and more of this generation enters the workforce, how can we partner with them? You know, how can we help them grow, because they will be taking on, you know, it's the next generation, and they can do it. You know, it's just different than it was when we were their age. And so, yeah, super interesting.
That's right. It is. Thank you for bringing this discussion to us, Wendy. And we want our listeners to think about one thing they can do differently based on this discussion they've heard today, whether they're a coach, a leader, or even a parent, as Wendy mentioned. What is one thing that you can do differently based on what you've heard today? And then quickly, before we finish, most listeners don't yet follow the podcast. So every additional follower we get helps us raise the profile of the podcast and bring you more episodes. So you can find us on LinkedIn and join the community. If you can do one thing for us today, then please hit the follow button and get updated whenever we put the content live. But if you can do a second thing for us today, could you share this podcast with a friend? Thanks for listening, and tune in next time. Thank you, Wendy. Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, both. Good to see you. Bye.
This has been another episode of The Coacharium. Follow, like, and subscribe to our content to receive updates on future episodes. Join us again soon in The Coacharium.